That's exactly what this series, Not a Fan, has been about, isn't it? Surrendering our all. And I hope and pray that this has had an impact on your life. It certainly has had an impact on my life. It's opened my mind and heart to some things that I hadn't really thought about for a while. And I think it was meant to wake us up and to shake us up. And sometimes we need that in our lives. I think you recognize that. You know, it's not fun being alone, you know, and we don't have to worry about it because the Lord's always with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always till the end of the age. This weekend, I've been alone. My wife and daughter are in Seattle celebrating her 21st birthday. Celebrate doing what? I don't know, but doing something. I've hardly talked to them. That's how well that's gone. Except I did notice this morning I was watching the regional news, and I noticed they had their first tornado in Seattle in years and years. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm anxious to see if they saw it. I don't think it did any damage, but boy, it was, you could sure see it. It was loud, it was very visual. But in our lives, we have the Lord. We don't have to be alone, and He's there for us. And I thank you for joining me, and you that have been here all 6 weeks for Not a Fan, and those who have been involved in the small groups. I really appreciate that. I am starting another series next week. It's a six-week series that's going to follow Not a Fan, and so I hope again that you'll stay with us. I want our hearts to be open and our minds to see the truth of God, and that the truth of God would certainly set us free. This is something we all must face in our lives, and it's sure important for us to be taken care of. Where is our walk with God? Do we sit here today and do we know where our walk with God is? Have we moved from being a fan to a follower? Has maybe this last 6 weeks helped us in doing that? What is it that makes you a follower? Do you have life assurance? And I said assurance. Listen to Jesus' very pointed words in this very important passage today, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Folks, it's certainly a good thing that we are all church-going Christians, right? So we don't have to hear that word at Judgment Day, right? Isn't that kind of good? Sure. After all, we're worshiping together, so certainly when we reach the judgment day that there won't be an issue and he won't say, depart from me, ye evildoers. Surely that should be sufficient. We try to be good people. We've given up a lot to be Christians, right? Oh yeah, we've given up a lot. We don't do things we used to do. We've been convicted of things, and so we turn our way and do something different. Well, come on. There is no way the Lord would tell us, depart from him, right? Well, listen again to these pointed words. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I don't know how much plainer Jesus needs to get with people. You know, hold up, Pastor. Are you saying it's difficult to get to heaven? No, I didn't really say that in that terminology. Though the Word of God tells us narrow is the gate and only a few will enter. Maybe that tells us that, doesn't it? Because all these people think they're going to enter heaven. All these people think they're right with God and they stand before God and God looks at them and he says, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because we're living on laurels, because we're living on all those things that we think that we did correctly. We came to church on Sunday mornings. We sang some great songs, some great worship songs, which worship was awesome again today. We sang those songs, but we still have to live our lives. You can say a lot of things in your life. You can say how devoted you are to the things of God, but folks, what is your life? What is your life? How is your life seen? How is it seen by the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he look at you clearly and say, look, I want you to be a follower. You're still a fan. You need to move beyond. You know, sometimes we say, man, I'm good. I donated my time to the poor. I visited the sick. I went to the hospital. I visited the sick. I helped that old lady across the street who's about ready to drop her groceries. I did all those things. My neighbor was struggling, and Lord, I went over and I helped her. I encouraged people who needed encouragement. I did all sorts of things. I knew all the right things to do, and I did them. Avoid a false sense of security. Avoid a false sense of security. It's not what you know. It's who you know. Do you know the Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that today, if you would stand before Him, that He would look at you and say, enter the kingdom of heaven. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter the kingdom of heaven. Or would He say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a reality. It's a reality check. It's something we all have to look at, and that's exactly what this series has been about. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the what of life, what I must do, and we lose sight of who this is all about, and it's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and having a personal relationship with Him that goes beyond being a fan, goes beyond looking at the spectacular. It's walking with Him day in and day out. It's about believing and trusting and living for Jesus. It's about picking up the cross, what? Daily, and following Him. You've heard that scripture every week. Life assurance is about the Son of God. About the Son of God. The beloved disciple John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, these words, he who has a son has life, but he who has not the Son of God has not life. Is that clear? I think it's clear. He who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus gives each of us an invitation to come into Him. Every single one of us in this room have that invitation. Every single one of us have that opportunity to say yes to the call of God or to say no. Or to say, I'm going to walk with God or I'm not going to walk with God. Well, I'm going to be a part-time Christian or, you know, whatever. God said, it's time to be a follower. It's time to be serious. And I tell you, the way this world's going, I think it's even a greater time to be serious than ever before. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is just of one verse that I'm going to read. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Come unto me. My father used to quote that around the house growing up over and over again. Yeah, you'd hear him saying all through the day. I mean, I think he said that scripture more than any one scripture. Come unto me, all ye heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I come unto you. Lord, I come unto you with in spirit and in truth. See, it's Jesus who brings us rest. Jesus is who brings us real peace. People go many different places to find real peace. Sometimes we go to the mountains. I'm going to go to the mountains and find real peace. I can be alone with God and I find the peace of God. Maybe so. That's good. I can go to the seashore and I've sat on the seashore. I've sat on a beach and you know, it was beautiful. It was serene. I thought about God. It was awesome. Last April, I got to go speak at a retreat at Cannon Beach, and they put me in a room on the beach, and the bed faced the picture window that looked out on the ocean. So I'm laying in bed with my head on the pillow looking out at the ocean. I mean, it was serene. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I was able to call upon God. But, you know, sometimes that's people's rest, and sometimes that's people's total walk with God. Sometimes we want to run from the chaos of the world to find real peace. But real peace and real assurance comes from our daily walk with Jesus Christ. And if we don't have a daily walk with Jesus Christ, then folks, that's where the trouble lies. That's where the trouble lies. It's not about the rituals. It's not about all these things that you do. It's not about the taking communion, about going to the cross, about whatever it might be. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ, our one-on-one relationship with Him. It's not about a certain church, whether you go to this church or that church. Most of us know that any good relationship has communication. See, God wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to direct us and lead us to search Him and to really know Him. You know, eternity is nothing to throw the dice about. I believe there are many people who stand before God and will want to rest on their accomplishments. At the end, they're going to stand before God and they're going to do what I said before. They're going to stand here and say, well, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. I did all these things. I've got all these things going for me. And then He looks at us in the face and He says, depart from me. I never knew you. And how crushed one will be. Pastor, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm hoping that each and every one of us have a reality check, and that we will not live with a false sense of security, because it surely happens. God is looking for real people, people who really love Him, who really serve Him. Jesus wouldn't say these powerful words if He wasn't concerned about where we are and what we're about. He said all these people, so they would understand. See, we communicate through prayer, right? We communicate through prayer. We spend time seeking God by asking Him to intervene in our lives on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, to intervene in our lives. Remember, a few weeks ago, I told you that Jesus fed the thousands with the loaves and fishes. That was 5,000 men. There's probably 15,000 people there. And He fed them, and people were astonished, and they were very excited, and things were great. They were on top of the world because Jesus had just performed another miracle, you know, taking the loaves and fishes and feeding 15,000 people. Wow! Impressive. They were impressed. But Jesus and the disciples wanted to get away from the crowd, so they hopped in the boat while everybody was sleeping that night and headed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and hung out by themselves. Well, guess what? The people got up in the morning, they got in boats, and they fled, and they went over where He was at. Why? Because they wanted to see more. And so then He gets in to all this spiritual truth. He gets into all this hard stuff, all this talk that we've been talking about this last 6 weeks. This is not a fan business. Jesus gets into that with all those people. I don't know how many of the 15,000 went over there, but a number of them went over there, and a number of His disciples. You know, at that time, He had like 70 disciples, His 12 main disciples, but He had 70 disciples. Well, the Bible says they were hearing all these things, and the disciples started leaving one by one. Not the 12, but the others started leaving one by one, and the people started to dissipate. The people started to leave. Why? Because they were hearing hard truth. Why in churches sometimes the churches go downhill is because pastors start speaking hard truth and they don't want to hear it, because we want the candy-coated truth. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. I know it's true. I'm doing this message, my part. It's true. You know, and people who stick with things spiritually, as long as it fits their belief system, as long as it doesn't taxi with something else, we don't mess with their material life, we don't mess with their ideals, then everything's just fine. Somehow it doesn't fit in with our walk with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the last days, people want to hear things that tickle their ears, and it doesn't fit. So they throw them out. So they leave the things of God and no longer follow the things of God. Folks, this is hard truth. Oh, it's hard to get people to pray, and the idea of praying, maybe even an extended period of time, is foreign to us. I read a survey last week about Christians who pray, and I had a hard time even believing this survey. It said the average Christian spends 5 to 7 minutes a day praying. I don't think the average Christian spends that much time praying. Do you, Mick? That's pastors. I mean, yeah, pastors, even pastors, 5 to 7 minutes a day praying. So the average person, man, if you spend a minute or two, and that's including 2 or 3 meals a day, Lord, thanks for the food, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, go God, you know? That kind of, you know, all sorts of things, and that fits into that. Or when you go to sleep, you know, we go to bed, Lord, protect me, you know, help no burglars come in my house. Good night, see you tomorrow. But we want to grow closer to God, but we refuse to spend time with Him. Man, I love starting the morning out in prayer. I mean, I the greatest habit I've ever started was spending time in prayer, and just spending time in prayer and not being bothered by anything in the world, not taking your phone calls or your emails at 6 and 5 in the morning. Thank you for not doing that. I wouldn't answer them anyway. But, you know, but calling upon God and spending time with God. And I'm like, Mick, I get up in the morning, I walk out, and I've told you this many times, I look to the east, and I always think about the coming of the Lord. I just do. It's one of my things. Go get my paper out of the mailbox. This morning I was out there, and oh, man, I was just taken back by the majesty of the sky. Anybody look at the sky this morning? And those red and the white, the cloud, it was just unbelievable. I said, you know, I wanted to sing that song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty, because you know what? That's what it's about, worshiping our majesty, spending time with Him. You know, how simple it would be if we just call upon God. But sometimes people want to call upon God, and they say, well, Pastor, I don't hear a clear and audible voice from God. You think I do? Not normally. Oh, there's been a time. I have one story that there was a time that I really believe I heard the voice of God. But you know what? His Word of God is very clear to us. You read the Word of God, He will show you, He will speak to you loud and clear through it. Prayer is a sacred privilege. We come to Him out of reverence of who He is. He leads us when He prays. We know He hears us. And sometimes when we pray, like I've said many times, we don't talk. We talk. We never listen. Sometimes we need to listen. Listen to God and let the Spirit of God speak to us. Oh, how I wish we would have more freedom to pray, that we would just pray in this church, even at any point in the service. If someone wanted to pray, that they wouldn't. Like last Sunday, a family came up the altar and prayed near the end of the service. They just pray. I love that, that we can call upon God anytime. And you say, well, you don't have to come forward. No, you don't. But there's sometimes it's neat just to kneel before God, our Maker, and go before Him and say, Lord, I'm coming for You. I never want to inhibit anyone from praying. And I so look forward to Thursday mornings because it's, as I've told you many times, for 6 years maybe, or 7 years, or 8 years, it's been a long time that Peggy and I and Jay and a bunch of us just, we get together and we just pray every Thursday morning. And one of us can't show, we always tell somebody I got a meeting. But it's just exhilarating. It's exhilarating. We pray over in the couches over. We sit over on the couches and just call upon God. I look forward to getting up in the morning. I'll rush to get up and make sure that I'm there to pray because it's just something about calling upon God with brothers and sisters to say, you know what, God, I want You to do something in our lives. You know, I'm so thankful that we can call upon God. I'm so thankful the example that I had growing up, as I've told you a bazillion times, is walking in and listening to my father pray, kneel by his bed, and tears flowing down his face and praying for me and my brothers and the church family, and praying for about every single person in the church family. It was amazing. Sometimes I'd try to find my father, and he was next door at the church. I'd go over, and I'd have to stand in the back of the church for like 45 minutes and wait for him to finish praying at the altar. And he's just praying. I mean, the roof is coming unglued when he's praying. You know, he's calling upon God. I probably should have joined him, but I'm just back there saying, Dad, would you hurry up? Let's get this over with. You know, sometimes that's where we are with God, and that's the way we are with prayer. Well, when we sincerely call upon Him, He hears us. The Spirit of God helps us. In fact, listen to Romans 8, 26 through 28. This is in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, and that's the truth sometimes, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, the Spirit of God intercedes for us, even when we don't know what to say. Believe me, there's been many times I've ran out of things to say. I've been praying, I just kind of ran out of things to say. And I've had to allow the Spirit of God to intercede for me, and to give me words, and to listen, and give me thoughts. And He's done that, and He continues to do that, because when you kneel before Him, when you spend time, when you get alone with Him, when you truly get alone with Him, you start seeing His power and His might in your life. That's why when it says in Psalms 46:10, he says, the psalmist writes, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we hate being still, and I'm a talker, as you well know. I can just talk, and sometimes I talk too much, as my wife would say. But be still and know that I am God. It's certainly difficult to be still before God and allow the Spirit of God to lead us as He likes. Probably many of you are like me. You like being in control. You know, you like being in control of things. Do we have any control people in here, you know? Okay, three of us. Good deal. Okay. You know, there's one of those things. You know, I kind of like being in control and kind of like driving. I'm so used to driving. In my entire life, since I was 15, actually, I started driving when I was 12 out in the country with Dad visiting. He taught me how to drive. It was illegal, so don't do that. But he taught me. And so, in fact, when I went and got my driving license, I was 15, I think, the instructor said, he said, you act like you've been driving for years. Oh, really? Oh, wow. I guess I'm just good. Got that down, you know. But I always drove, and my parents probably had less money than anybody, but I was always a driver. Of all my friends, I drove them around all the time in a little Volkswagen Bug. I went everywhere. Don Armstrong, remember Don? Drove Don around, 8th and 9th grade. We drove around, and I was always a driver. I have driven my whole life. And so I get married, and my wife and I and our family go out, and I do all the driving. And when our staff goes out to lunch, I do most of the driving all the time. Well, I kind of like that. I like being at the wheel. I find myself being a backseat driver when I'm with my wife or daughter, when she's driving or they're driving. Man, I'm sitting on the other side of the seat and they're coming up to cars before me. I seem like I'm going to run into them. Slow down, stop. I want to have a foot pedal and a steering wheel in my side over here because it just scares me to death. And so that's because I've always been in control. Unfortunately, that is many times a problem in life. We want to be in control of our lives, and we have tough times submitting the control to Jesus and what he's saying. Once and for all, you know, we need to let Jesus take the wheel of our lives, don't we? Yes? In fact, you know, there's a song, Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. And if you have that queued up, I want you to hear one verse of this song because that song touched me. First time I ever heard it, and it still touches me. Here it goes. Just one verse. Don't look at the clock. We're going to run 7 minutes late. It's okay. Like that song. Folks, that's the way it needs to be in our life. Jesus, take the wheel. We must understand this. A follower is led by the Spirit of God. In fact, Romans 8, 5 through 11 says this, and I'm going to read this rather rapidly when he gets up there. Either that, I'm going to pull right here and read this. There it is behind me. That's all right. I'm going to read it right from the Word, straight from the Word. That's the Word, but it's just makes it easier for a blind man to see. Romans 8, 5 through 11 says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Yes, those who live by the flesh have their minds set on the flesh. Those who live by the Spirit desires what the Spirit wants. That is the difference in who we are in Christ. Is our mind set on what the Spirit desires for us? What nature needs us? Are you led by the spiritual nature or by the earthly nature? What nature leads you? Is God in control of your life? The Scripture states the Spirit gives life. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God gives life to all those who believe. And you know what? Our energy and focus should be on Him. Paul was very pointed in this passage. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. I don't know how much clearer you can get. We need the Spirit of Christ. So to belong to Christ, you must have the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to lead you into truth and to lead you into action. We as people of God, we as the Cloverdale Church of God, need to be people of action. We need to live how we say that we are, that we're walking with Christ, that we're a child of God. We can talk a great talk, but you know what? We have to back that up. Remember this very clear statement, Apostle Paul, you have life when the Spirit of God lives in you. Just for a moment in closing, look at Peter, the disciple's life. He was a devout follower of God, but with kind of a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's kind of rough edge, like some of us have today. We might call him a little edgy. When the going got tough, when Jesus went to the cross, we read about the famous Peter, the famous denial. What happened? Three opportunities he had not to deny Christ, but he denied him. He turned his back on him, you know. And he, you know, it had to have destroyed him inside. He had to be a mess. But God gave him a chance, as some of you remember, after the resurrection. Came back. And so the Lord, you know, he said, Peter, you know, who am I? You know. And Peter said, you're God. You are the Lord thy God. You know, and Lord, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, I love you. You know I love you. He said that three times. And you know what? Are we saying that to the Lord today? Is the Lord saying that to us? He said, do you love me? Do you love me? How many times does he have to say that? What do we say to him? You know, the Spirit of God. And then, by the way, Peter was so restored that God used him as the messenger that started Christendom in such a powerful, powerful way in the book of Acts. Peter gave the message of Pentecost. The Spirit of God moved in marvelous ways and took off. And Apostle Paul, of course, helped that cause, and it went on and on. But the boldness of Peter, that God restored him. Folks, God can restore us. Sometimes we get down on ourselves because we're not everything that we should be spiritually. It can change. And God is changing many of your lives, and he's changing my life even today. The Spirit of God wants to be in control of our lives. He wants us to be a follower, not a fan. And I hope these past 6 weeks that you have come to grips with this. Do you know the Spirit of God wants to set a spiritual fire underneath you? He wants to set a spiritual fire underneath me. He wants to set a spiritual fire underneath this church. I know with all my heart that's what he wants to do. We're all faced with a choice. Will we be a follower or will we be a fan? Can you openly say to the Lord this day that I will be a follower of Jesus Christ? I hope so. It's a choice we have to make. This morning as we close, and I'm not going to cut our closing because of time, because it's vital that we have this time, that we just spend time and say, Lord, you know what? If you want to pray and say, Lord, I want to give something to you, pray. You know, feel free to kneel at the altar or write something on the cross or come and take communion and remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to respond. Would you just pray with me, and then would you stand with me as we pray, and feel free to respond. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I pray that there would be no one in this room that one day would stand before you and you would look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. And Lord, if there's even a glimpse of that in their lives, that they would say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. My all, I give my all is on the altar. God, help us. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.